Titled the message this evening, Prayer with a Purpose. Prayer with a Purpose. And we'll begin reading in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 2. The Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you this evening for your love and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. And I pray at this time that you give me the wisdom and the words to preach thus saith the Lord. I pray for those who are listening, whether it be through live stream or those in our presence, I pray that you'd use this message to speak to their hearts. May the word of God challenge them to be more like the Lord Jesus. Again, Lord, I also pray if there is someone, Lord, who is watching or in our presence that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray for that soul that they would be saved. Again, Lord, we just pray in each and every aspect of this service, you receive the honor and glory that you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about prayer, we think that it is a mighty weapon that God has given to us. It can be used in many ways. It has many purposes. In this passage of Scripture this evening, however, we read about the importance of prayer being continual. We read about the importance of prayer that we need to do it in thanksgiving. We also read the importance of prayer of opening doors, doors of opportunity, to give us utterance to preach the gospel. The same prayer of faith that can move a mighty mountain can give you a tongue of wisdom. The same prayer that is able to change your life and make you and help you to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ can give you the words that you need to say to some lost one that you don't know, may not even know at this moment. But the Lord works through prayer. We think about in our society and how we're going to reach this world. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth more laborers. Prayer moves the hand of God. It does things that we cannot, and that's why we need to depend upon prayer as Christians. It's really utilizing God's hand in the things that we do, allowing God to work in and through us. Prayer is to be consistent. That means it should not be just willy-nilly. It should be a part of our daily life. It should be a part of who we are as Christians. Prayer is to be thankful. We tend to bring only complaints or troubles before our Lord and Savior. But prayer, when we think of prayer, should be a time when we go to God and we speak to Him and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. It should be a time when we go to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a family. Lord, thank you for the food that you provide me. Thank you for the clothing. Thank you for the shelter. Thank you for your goodness to me in times of trouble. Lord, thank you for your presence in the things that I'm going through as a Christian. Prayer opens our eyes to reality of God's presence because it brings us before God Himself. As a Christian, it is a great privilege to go before the throne. And when we go before the throne, we're in the presence of Almighty God. As we think about prayer, prayer opens doors of opportunity. Prayer opens our mouth. It gives us the words to speak. Prayer is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful tool that we can use as Christians. However, if we're honest with ourselves, it is usually the go-to for times of struggle instead of times of action. We should seek God's guidance in our work as Christians daily. Not from time to time, not through periods of time, but it should be a daily part of our life. It not only opens the door of communication with God, but it also enacts the work of God in our daily lives. Because of the power that has behind it, we must use it every day in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Prayer is a part of God's will for your life. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be always in prayer, prayer without ceasing. The Bible says we ought to pray without ceasing, and it's not just a morning and not an evening routine, but when we think of prayer without ceasing, it simply means we consider God in everything that we do. As you go throughout your day, you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do next? Lord, help me as I go through work. Lord, enable me to do the job that I'm doing better than I've ever done it before. Lord, help me to be a blessing to my wife. Lord, help me to be a blessing to my husband. Asking God to be with us in each and every moment of the day. Prayer without ceasing. Always talking to God. That's what God wants us to do in our lives. It is what enables us as Christians to live the lives of a Christian. Many Christians fail and falter when the flesh takes control. The reason so many times we fail and falter and the flesh takes control is because we're not focused on God. And we can know when we're not focused on God when we don't pray as much as we ought to. Our minds are somewhere else. If our mind and our attention is focused on God, then we'll pray as we ought to. We'll seek His blessing. We'll seek His will. We'll be mindful of talking to God. And this evening, as we go through this prayer with a purpose, as we consider praying with a purpose, let us look at how we are to pray. Prayer is to be consistent and is to be thankful. And what we are to pray for. We need to pray for open doors of opportunity and pray for sound speech to declare the gospel. If you're taking notes, first of all, Roman numeral number one, how are we to pray? Under that, if you're taking notes, letter A, prayer is to be consistent. Prayer is to be consistent. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, the following. Turn there if you would. It's just in the same passage of scripture we just read, same page, Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. The Bible says the following. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. The Bible says of Epaphras that he labored fervently for the Colossians in prayers. He labored fervently. What does it mean to labor fervently? Well, fervently is to be very enthusiastically or passionately, whereas laboring is to work hard and make great effort. To be consistent in prayer, it needs to be continuing. It means to be ongoing. And that means it's a work. And it has to be thought upon. It has to be something we work at. It needs to be something we make part of our life. We need to be diligent about it. We need to work hard. We need to be fervent. We need to continue in prayer and watch in the same. And continuing in prayer and watching in the same, it just simply means this. When you think about continuing in prayer and watching in the same, as you go through life, you use prayer to help you through whatever you're going through. As we go about, we look for opportunities. Watch for the opportunity of prayer. Look for that opportunity to pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look for that opportunity to pray for God to open the door to preach the gospel. The context of this passage would call for us to be attentive to the events around us, and by doing that, cause us to pray, thus watch unto prayer. Really, in some form, that is exactly how prayer works. Prayer is a part of our life, and we pray about what we see and what we know. Prayer ought to be centered about where we're at in our life. That is how we pray. We pray based upon our daily interactions, what we're involved in, where we're at. Praying for our fellow believers, we ought to be involved in prayer for our fellow believers in Kitchener Baptist Church. That is where God has placed us, being involved, watching for the opportunity to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to be vigilant for our brothers and sisters in Christ and pray for them as we see the need to pray. It's interesting that Epaphras, his prayer was that they would be in the will of God. And what we want for each other as Christians is to pray for each other that we would be in the will of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Part of his prayer was for his fellow believers was that they would be perfect and complete in the will of God. And we need to always continue in prayer, even for this purpose. I haven't focused on that this evening, but prayer has many purposes. And one of it is to be praying for each other, that we would all be involved in the will of God. I can remember when I first got saved, and I know there are certain people back at the church where I went to in Snora who were praying for me. And the reason why I think in some instances I was victorious as a Christian was because of their prayer. I believe that God uses prayers to intervene on the behalf of others. I believe when we pray for each other, it helps us in tremendous ways, ways we don't understand. It may prevent us even from falling or going down the wrong path simply because someone took the time to pray for you, that God would be with you, that God would help you in a time of a trial. As we can think about being consistent in our prayer, turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to be watching for opportunities, to pray for opportunities, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. When in this passage of Scripture we're looking at our praying in Ephesians 6:19, the Bible says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Prayer ought to be used to open doors of opportunity. And that's why we need to be continually in prayer, because we want always to have open doors of opportunity. What is the open doors of opportunity for? To share the gospel. Not only is prayer to be consistent, but prayer is to be thankful. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, the following: Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Synth that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When we think about prayer, it ought to be always with thanksgiving. Whenever we have the opportunity and the privilege to go before God, we should be thanking him for what he's been doing in our lives. We should be thanking him for what he has done in our lives. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we bring to the Lord, we can bring to him not in bitterness of spirit, not in complaint, but with thanks. And it's important, the Bible says, when we pray, to be thankful in our prayers. It's easy to be focused on the negative things, but God wants us to focus on positive things. God wants us to look at the bright side of things. And you say, well, we live in a not-so-bright world. Well, we have to understand who it is that we serve. And our God, how good he has been to us. And remember all the blessings that he has given to us. You can find a lot of negative things if you're willing to look, but you also can find a lot of blessings if you're willing to look as well. It's where you focus on and what your mind is focused on. And the Bible encourages us as Christians to think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, or whatsoever things of a good report. We're to think with a proper thought. And when we go to the Lord in prayer, our thoughts ought to be proper. They ought to be pure. It ought to be on good things and thinking about what God is doing in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for as Christians when we understand what we have in Jesus and what we have as his children. You can never say as a Christian, I have nothing to be thankful for, because you don't understand what you have as a Christian if you think that. That is not true. There's so much for you to be thankful for. God has blessed you. He's given you life, and life more abundantly. Not only has he given you eternal life, but now he's given you a life to live according to his will. A life of blessing, not of heartache, not of sorrow. A life where we're not in subject to sin, living in sinful lives. We're not perfect and we all falter. But we have the ability now to live a life that is pleasing to God. And that is something to be thankful for. Don't let the communication that you bring to your Savior only be that of complaints, but let it be of thankfulness. Remember who it is that you serve and pray with a purpose, and that is with thanksgiving. Not only how we are to pray is to be continual or consistent and to be with thanksgiving, but number two this evening, what are we to pray? What we are to pray. Letter A under that, pray for open doors. Pray for open doors. What we want as a church is for God to open doors for us. We have been given the opportunity and the privilege to declare the gospel. We are a lighthouse in this community. And in order to be the lighthouse that God wants us to be, in order for you to be that light that God wants you to be, we need to be involved in prayer. Prayer will open doors. The Bible says the following, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16, 7, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible says that there was a great door effectual opened unto him. And God opens great doors. But the way the great doors are opened, it's not by mistake. It's by us interacting with God and asking him to open those great doors. It's by us going before the Lord and asking him to get involved in our lives. God is able to open great doors of opportunities to preach the gospel. Opportunities are a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. That's what an opportunity is. It's a set of circumstances that it gives us the possibility to do something. And I believe that God is able to orchestrate things in my daily life to give me the ability to do something, to give me an opportunity. I believe when I go before the Lord in prayer and I ask him to give me an open door of opportunity to preach the gospel, that he'll change my path for that day, that he'll put me where I need to be, that he'll tell me who I need to speak to. But that's only possible if I'm involved in prayer, and prayer daily. If you want daily opportunities, then you need to be daily in your prayer. If you want the opportunities to be prevalent and it'd be visible at all times, then you always need to be praying. God opens doors of opportunities. The opening of the door of opportunities comes from God. The more opportunities we pray for, the more we will have. The Bible says the following in Acts chapter 14, verses 24 and following. Turn there if you would. Acts chapter 14 and verses 24 and following. Acts chapter 14, verse number 24, the Bible says, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, the Bible says. God is the one who opens the doors and gives us the opportunity to preach to the ones who are seeking, the ones that don't know where God is, the ones who don't know who God is. God is the one that opens the door so that we can share with them the gospel. He is the one that gives us the opportunities. God knows where the soul is saying, is there a God? And if there is, show me. God knows where that soul is. God sends the praying Christian to the doorstep or the wagon of where that soul is. Turn to your Bible. This is the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 26, very familiar passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge over all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. In this passage of scripture, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip going up to him and speaking to him. The same way God worked in this man's life and gave him the ability, the privilege to reach out to someone and share with them the gospel and they were saved, God is able to do that in your life as well. And I believe that's possible, but through prayer. God will orchestrate events. He'll give you that open door of opportunity so that you're able to hear God speaking. When we go before the Lord in prayer, it's us talking to God. And then when we talk to God, He responds to us. It's not a one path type of thing. It's not us going before the Lord and nothing ever happens. When we go before the Lord, He responds to us. He speaks to us. You say, how does He? That still small voice inside. Philip heard from the angel of the Lord, go on to this man. It's when God speaks to you and when you're faithful in prayer and God tells you, go witness to this person. I want you to give them a tract. I want you to talk to your coworker about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because God knows at that moment in time when they're seeking and when they're ready to receive the gospel. God knows all those things. God sees the hearts in each and every individual. And that's why He says, the fields are already white on the harvest. God sees everything. He knows. He knows that there's people out there, they're searching. And God is able to put you in that place, that open door of opportunity to preach the gospel unto them. Not only do we need to pray for that open door, but we need to pray for utterance or the right words to say. There are power in words, but there's also power in the presentation of words. The words of God are what changes someone's life. But presentation is very important. And we read this in the book of Acts. Acts and many other passages of Scripture. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 1, 21 and following, the following. It says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." When one has faith in the words that he's sharing, it shows. When you have boldness to preach, thus saith the Lord, you have boldness, you believe what the Word of God says in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being buried, and rose again, it shows. When you allow God to take control of you, you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, and I'll explain what that means in a moment, it will show. People will see it. You say, how do they see it? They see it with the how you speak and how you share the Word of God. Confidence is visible in your countenance, and there is power when you preach with boldness. Boldness does not change the power of the words, but rather it opens the heart of the one who is hearing to listen. This person has something important to say. Look at them. They believe what they're saying. They know what they're talking about. Bible says in regard to this in the Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and following. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and following. I'll read it. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. People will take notice if you've been with Jesus. And you say, well, how is that possible? You need to be involved in prayer. You need to spend some time with Jesus. Prayer brings you into his presence. And it's the time we use to speak to him. And as in with any other relationship, the more time you spend with someone, the more time you become like them. You say, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible speaks about that in the book of Proverbs. Someone who hangs around with wise men shall be wise, but a companion fool shall be destroyed. You want to be wise? Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with him in prayer. He'll teach you how to speak. He'll give you the words to say. You say, I don't know how to share the gospel. God will show you how. God will give you the mouth that you need to share the good news. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, 23 and following, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by thy mouth of thy servant David have said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Prayer to God draws us closer to God and gives us boldness because it brings us to the realization of the presence of God. What I mean by that, we all understand that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we as Christians, we don't live like he's with us. And that's simply because we're not involved in the prayer. We're not talking to him. We're not spending time with him. But when you take the time to spend the time you need to with Jesus, it will reflect on how you speak. God will give you the power and the boldness that you need to preach, thus saith the Lord. In this passage of Scripture, we read about they were being persecuted, they were suffering. And so when they were going through that time of persecution, that time of suffering, you know what they did? They went to the Lord in prayer. And God answered their prayer. The Bible says there's an earthquake. There's a great thing that happened in their presence. But more important than all of that, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And being filled with the Holy Ghost is not something that is just, oh, this world for select group of people. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, all it means is you allow God to take control. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one in charge in your life. And the way the Holy Spirit is in charge in your life as a Christian is by you talking to God. And He tells you what to do. And you listen. And when you listen, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're obeying God. You're doing what He tells you to do. The Bible says the following. Turn there, if you would, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 14 and following. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 14 and following. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 14, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know what God is saying? He says, don't be unwise, don't be a fool, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, how do I know that? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's saying, don't let your flesh control your life. You let the Holy Spirit control your life. You let God take control of things in your life. And that's made possible through prayer. God can give us the words that we need, that need to be said, when they need to be said, when we pray to God for utterance. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, 3 and following, "With all praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." We want to be able to present the gospel in the right way. And that we want to have the right words. And then the reason why the right words are so important, because it will grab their attention, it will grab a hold of their heartstrings, and it will bring them to a place where they'll see the truth. And you say, how is it possible that I can say the right words? How am I supposed to know what that person's heart needs? You know when you spend time with God. You have a Holy Spirit that God has given you. And God sees the hearts of each and every individual. And He can give you the words you need to say at that moment in time for that individual. And it's made possible through prayer. God is able to do that. God has given us the privilege of going to Him in prayer. We should take advantage of this privilege by being consistent in our prayers to God and also being thankful. Remember what He has done for you. And remember what He can do. Turn, and this is where we'll finish this evening, and to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And we'll read verses 1 and following. And Exodus chapter 4. And we'll read verses 1 and following. The Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Sometimes that's what we think as Christians when it comes to preaching the gospel. They're just not going to listen. But we have to trust in God and proclaim the truth of God. "And the Lord said unto him, What is it that is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe on the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land. And the water which thou takest of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Some may say, what a privilege Moses had. He got to speak to God directly. And God gave him the answers he needed. And he was able to tell Moses, you know what? I'll give you the words to speak. I'll help you. But what do you think prayer is? Prayer is the ability, the privilege to go to God and ask him for help to give me the words to say. I'm not eloquent. I don't know what to say, Lord. And the Lord's answer to you is, I'll give you the words to say. I'll be with you. It's my will for people to be saved more than it is yours. And I'll give you the words to say, you just need to simply trust me. We need to put our trust in God and trust in his word. And I'll read it again. The Bible says, And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. That is prayer with a purpose, is simply allowing God to work in your life. And that's why it's so important to be consistent and thankful and always take the time to pray, because that is how God works in our lives as Christians. It is through prayer. It's how God does his work. It's by us asking him to help us along the way. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the promises we find in the Word of God. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, even this passage of Scripture, if we have read, Lord, the person writing said, pray for me that utterance would be given unto me, an open door to be given unto me, that I may declare the mystery of Christ. I pray for each and every one here this evening, Lord, to give them that open door of opportunity and give them, Lord, the utterance that they need to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to pray as we ought to for each and every one of everyone, and I pray that you just continue to do that work that only you can do. Again, Lord, we thank you for what you have done, and we'll continue to thank you for what you will do, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.